The comment bayoneted me. Because of course Laurie was talking about me. This whole thing was completely about me. I was the reason, the only reason, she thought our son might be dangerous. If he were not a barber, no one would ever have parsed his childhood so closely for signs of trouble. But I remained silent. What was the use? There was no defense to being a barber. Dr. Vogel said cautiously, "Okay, maybe we should just stop here. I'm not sure it would be productive to go on much longer. This isn't easy for anyone, I realize. We've made some progress. We can try again next week." I looked down at my lap, avoiding Laurie's eyes, ashamed, though for what, I was not exactly sure. "Let me just ask you both one last question. Maybe we can leave on a happier note, okay? So let's assume for a moment that this case will go away. Assume that in a few months the case will be dismissed and Jacob will be free to go and do whatever he pleases. Just as if this case had never happened. No qualifications, no lingering shadows, nothing at all. Now, if that were to happen, where would you see your son in 10 years? Laurie?" "Wow. I can't think that way. I'm just getting through from one day to the next, you know. 10 years is just too hard to imagine." "Okay, I understand. But just as a thought exercise, try. Where do you see your son in 10 years? Laurie considered. She shook her head. I can't. I don't even like to think about it. I just can't envision anything good. I think about Jacob's situation constantly, Doctor, constantly. And I can't see how this story could end happily. Poor Jacob. I just hope, you know, that's all I can do. But if I think about when he's older and we're not around? I don't know. I just hope he's okay. That's all? That's all. All right, how about you, Andy? If this case disappeared, where would you see Jacob in 10 years? If he walks on this case? That's right. I see him happy. Happy, okay. Maybe with someone, a wife who makes him happy, maybe a father, with a son. Laurie shifted. But through with all this teenage crap, all the self-pity, the narcissism. If Jacob has a weakness, it's that he doesn't have the kind of discipline it takes. He's self-indulgent. He doesn't have the, I don't know, the steel. Dr. Vogel, the steel to do what? Laurie looked at me across her shoulder, curious. We all heard the answer in our heads, I think, even Dr. Vogel. The steel to be a barber. To grow up, I said weakly. To be an adult? Like you? No. Not like me. Jake's got to do it his own way. I know that. I'm not one of those dads. I pulled my elbows into my lap as if trying to squeeze through a narrow passageway. Jacob doesn't have the kind of discipline you had as a kid? No, he doesn't. Why does that matter, Andy? What is he stealing himself for? Or against? The two women shared a glance, the briefest eye tap. They were studying me, together, understanding each other. Judging me unreliable, in Laurie's word. Life, I murmured. Jacob's got to steel himself against life, same as every other kid. Laurie leaned forward, elbows on knees, and she took my hand.